morning. How are you all doing? Good? It's Resurrection Sunday. Who's excited about that? Yeah? Is that how you celebrate? Just, woo. That's all I heard. It's Resurrection Sunday. Woo! That's a little bit better. I know people, when they go for soccer matches or rugby or whatever, they celebrate much louder than that. It's Resurrection Sunday. Yeah! That's more like it. I love that. I love that. When I go for sport, I'm not a big sports person. I just go for the crowd. Seriously, I just go to just look at everybody doing funny things and making noise. That's what I pay for. But Resurrection Sunday, Pastor Charlie preached on Good Friday in Fremantle, and he said something that is so true, but I just never thought of it. He was sharing about people who, some famous people, I can't remember the names, but these famous people had for many years disappeared, and their bodies were not found for a very long time. And then eventually their bodies were found. And then he spoke about Jesus Christ. And he just made the statement that really caught my ear. He said, his body was never found. And it was never going to be found because he is risen. Amen. His body was never to be found. That's why we celebrate, because his death led to his resurrection, which leads to what we're celebrating today. The past few weeks have seen us walk through a series of events that have led us to today. We looked at the life of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, and that they were so loved by God. They were blessed. They were given the best of everything. They were commanded to be fruitful and multiply. But through the lies of the serpents, they were deceived into thinking God wanted to shortchange them. God wanted them to miss out. We saw how this led to the introduction of sin, death, shame into the human experience. But the most tragic thing that happened was that there was separation from the Father, from their Creator, from the one whom life originated from. And that a blood sacrifice was required to reconnect men to God. And that Jesus Christ became and was the only ultimate sacrifice, because the blood of goats and bulls was insufficient to remove sin completely, once and for all. But today is a day of celebration. Today is a day of gratitude. We celebrate that Christ is risen. Thing is, every year, every Easter Sunday, we do this. And it can almost become so, we become familiar with it. It's just become something that we do. It's Easter. Organize the Easter eggs, have picnics here and there. But I wonder for you as an individual, do you realize what it means for your life? Because although for a time he endured the pain of the crucifixion, being abused, nailed to a cross, although in the grave he faced darkness and separation from his Father. He had never been separated from his Father. But in the grave, in that darkness, he was. We celebrate his resurrection that marks completion of his assignment here on earth. His assignment to ransom humanity, you and I. He has conquered the grave. It says that in the Bible, death could not hold him down. We celebrate freedom from sin and no more eternal separation from our Heavenly Father. Ransomed. Once again, our main scripture is going to be read from Revelation 5, 9 to 10. And basically that was a vision that the Apostle John was having. A vision of one seated on the throne, surrounded by 24 elders and the four living creatures. And we heard that this one who was seated on the throne had a scroll on his right hand. And as John was having this vision, he found out that there was no one who was worthy. No one could open the scroll. And he started weeping. But he was stopped from his weeping by an angel. He was told, wait, no need to weep, because there is one who was found worthy. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday because one who is worthy to open the scroll was found. The scroll contained God's plan for humanity. That's why John was weeping, because if nobody could open the scroll, then we were in trouble. The plan could not unfold. And so we take it from verse 9, Revelation 5, Revelation, and I'm reading from the NLT. And they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. This is to the Lamb. They're speaking to the Lamb. For you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's what we've got in this room today. Every tribe, language, and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, my focus will be on verse 10. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Two questions I have for us this morning. Number one, how can we live as that kingdom of priests without trying to earn favor for what has already been settled? I'll say it again. How can we live as that kingdom of priests without trying to earn favor for what has already been settled? Secondly, what then, if anything, does God require of us now that Christ has risen and all the work has been done? Is there anything that God requires? What is that? The first time we come across this idea of kingdom of priests is found in Exodus 19. This is God giving Moses instructions for the children of Israel. From verse 3 to 6, it says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. In a moment, we will look at the scripture in more detail. But for now, let's not miss what God was saying here. His original thoughts on this. Through his servant Moses, God wanted his children, if you are his child, his children, to understand the conditions under which they would become that kingdom of priests. He started off with jogging their memory about what they had seen him do to their enemies, Egypt. This Easter Sunday, may we remember what he has done to cover us, to shelter us, to protect us from harm. You may think, I don't have any enemies, but you have things that have tried to harm you. Then he wanted to remind them of how he had carried them on eagle's wings and brought them to himself. Eagle's wings. I just imagine an eagle flying way up there. He didn't say chicken's wings or anything of that sort. Eagle's wings. And brought them to himself. May we remember how he has sustained us and lifted us up, and how he is the one who draws us to himself. The Bible tells us he first loved us. Some of us struggle with the idea of being loved for different reasons. But God here is reminding the children of Israel that he is the one who draws them to himself. God is the one who draws you. It's his desire. God is passionate about his people. God is passionate about his creation. He wanted them to understand that obedience was a top priority for him. He said, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God values holiness. He said, these are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Such wonderful instructions to follow if you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Christ. That was in Exodus. And now we go back to Revelation. In Revelation, everything is completed. We hear that this about the lamb that was slaughtered. This is to the lamb. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. And they will reign on the earth. Becoming. Because of the price he paid, there is a cause and effect. We are because of him. Our becoming is because of him and what he did. In him, we live and breathe and have our being. Without his action, then there is no victory for us. So to answer that first question, how can we live as that kingdom of priests without trying to earn favor for what has already been settled? We have to do this. We have to have note to self. We have to say this to ourselves. Note. Although God wants us to remember, as we have just read in Exodus, although he wants us to remember what he has done to our enemies, how he has sustained us, although he values obedience and covenant, which is whatever agreement he has with you, we must not miss this one thing. It is because of the death and resurrection of Christ that we are becoming. Nothing more, nothing less. It is because of the work of Christ. It's very easy to forget sometimes that everything is because of what he has done. We can get caught up in works, caught up in doing things for God and forgetting the relationship that has been established. So who are we becoming? It says kingdom of priests. Some of the biggest challenges that man faces, you and I, include comparison, performance, shame, dealing with shame and condemnation, a need for validation, a need for approval. I want you to think about this for yourself. Do I have this? Do I struggle with this? Fear of rejection. Tendency to manipulate and control. Funny enough, all those challenges sound very familiar. It's what we deal with in present day age. But I've heard that before. The comparing, the performing, the shame. That takes us once again back to Adam and Eve. They experience some, if not all of those. How can we become a kingdom of priests? You know, priests traditionally were the ones who stood between God and men and represented God to men, making him known. The ones who were devoted to God, ministering to him in worship. Those are the priests. As a kingdom of priests, we have a secure identity and we have authority because of the work of the cross. We belong to his kingdom under his rule. We belong to the family of God. We have a purpose and we carry his authority on the earth. We belong to a kingdom. We're not doing it alone. It's a community of believers. A kingdom of priests. Kingdom is the domain of the king. It's not a democracy. We don't do our own thing. We don't go solo. We don't go independent. And for a lot of us, that can be a struggle because we were raised to be independent. There's nothing wrong with thinking for yourself. But when you come under the kingdom of God, it means you come under the authority of God. You do things the kingdom way, That's a whole mindset shift that can take years to understand. If we're going to be a kingdom of priests, then we have to know who we are, our identity, our position. And we have to learn to rest in that. I don't know about you, but resting is a bit of a challenge for me. Just resting. We quite often feel like we have to be doing something. Even if we try and rest after 5 minutes, we have to get up and go. I remember my grandmother, I don't know if I shared this last time, but she was like that. We would visit her every school holiday, and she would sit down with you for 5-10 minutes at the most. Then she would get up to go and attend to chickens or goats or something. She just could not sit. She had to always be doing something. A lot of us don't know how to rest. But we celebrate Resurrection Sunday because it's a time to now rest. We don't have to keep doing all that work to prove anything to God. We are priests who have direct access to the Father. We don't have to go through somebody else. If we let go of our need to perform, to compare, to be validated, our need for approval, if we let go of that fear of rejection, then our true priesthood will show. Because we will no longer be hiding behind those things that we think make us worthy. A lot of these things that we do, all this extra work that we put in, all this performance, this perfectionism, at the core of that is the idea that we are not worthy. The word says we are a kingdom of priests for our God. We're not just kingdom of priests for ourselves. It's for our God. The implication is that there is no other authority that should lay claim on us. Because a very high price was paid for us. You know, there's a saying that I've heard a lot in recent years. It sounds nice when you hear it, but I'd like you to think about what it actually means. And this saying is, you do you, and I'll do me. Have you heard that? You do you, and I'll do me. It sounds very liberating, doesn't it? It sounds like freedom. But when you think about it, there's something about that phrase that's basically saying, I'm going to do things my way. I'm not going to let you impact me negatively. Nothing wrong with that. But there's also this sense of, I'm going to prove myself. But here we're saying it's for our God. You don't just get to do you. Because when you do you, it means that God is not at the center of everything that you're doing. Because God, if God is at the center, he might ask you to humble yourself. He might ask you to go to that person who is at fault and ask for forgiveness just to have peace. That's not going to work if I'm doing me. Because doing me is like, no, I'm not going to let anybody ever do anything like that to me again. It's me, myself, and I. You and I are set apart for our God, to live for him and to glorify only him. Which means before I make a major decision, I go ask him. I speak to him. I consult him. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share his glory. I can imagine that is one of the reasons why the Lord hates pride. Because pride says, me, myself, and I. Anything that takes our attention and devotion away from God is operating illegally. We can celebrate that we know the only one to whom we belong. As we celebrate this resurrection, it's an opportunity to search ourselves and see, am I really living my life for my God? The second question I posed was, what then, if anything, does God require of us? I mean, it's all been done. He is risen. Is there anything that I need to be doing now that all the work has been done? It says we are to reign on the earth. To reign means to exercise authority. With authority, we bring chaos. We bring order, sorry, to chaos. We bring influence to our environment, and we impact culture. We don't have to wait until we're in heaven to have dominion. But for a lot of us, we live a defeated Christian life. And when I say defeated Christian life, I don't mean life is happening to you. I don't mean things are not going well for you. Because we don't control necessarily the circumstances. Sometimes we do, but generally we don't control the things that are happening to us. But there is an aspect of this that's about our beliefs, our thinking. You could have all hell breaking loose around you, but not in your mind. In your mind, you know who you are. You know whose you are. You know what your authority is. You know you've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. You've been given authority to call those things that are not as though they are. It's one thing to have life happen to you. It's another to have a defeated mindset. As Christians, we can get caught up in wanting to leave this earth, to be with our Heavenly Father. They even have songs about that. When it talks about His will being done on earth as it is in heaven, that can only happen, that can only be accomplished by those He has given authority to, kingdom of priests, you and I. In celebrating Easter Sunday, I want to look at Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 6, and this is from the NIV. I want you to think about this as yourself. As I read it, replace whatever you need to replace with yourself, your name, you. It says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves." Predestined us for adoption to sonship. There is something about being a son. Son there is not about whether you're male or female. A child of God, there is something about that through Jesus Christ. To the praise of His glorious grace. Everything is about Him. It's about glorifying God. The resounding message there is this. Easter is not just about appreciating the death and resurrection of Christ, but it's about understanding the love of God and His call to us because of that love. Every single one of us here, we have been called to love because He has poured His love in us. He is love. He has given us the blueprint. Now, here is what I believe we must do as a kingdom of priests. There are certain things we must stop. I'll be finishing soon. There are certain things we must stop if we are a kingdom of priests. Firstly, stop false humility. An insincere display of modesty. It masks pride. It's offensive to God. God has called you to a greater purpose. Stop false humility. Stop saying, no, that's not for me. No, God would never ask of that of me. Have you checked with him? A lot of us are very quick because of the experiences we've had. We're very quick to say, no, that's not for me. No, I don't think so. Have you checked with God? Because if you check with him and he says, I have called you to that, then it is upon you to obey if you are a follower of Christ. Stop hiding in shame. We looked recently on who told you were naked. Listening to the lies of the enemy leads us to play small and average. You were not called to play small. You were not called to play average. It's offensive to God and to what he wants to do with your life. It says the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The reason the laborers are few is that the laborers don't want to believe that God has a job for them. The laborers are caught up in thinking, I'm not good enough. The laborers are so self-conscious, there is no God consciousness. Stop hiding in shame. We have to impact culture through our influence in your homes, in your workplace, in your environment, through your words, through your vision, what you see for the environment, through your hearing, your influence. God has called you to share something, speak something, encourage something. As a kingdom of priests, we have to stop worrying and start living. Is anybody worried about anything this afternoon? Anybody worried? No worriers in the room. Is that a nod? Okay, one person is worried. We have to stop worrying. It's not our portion. It's a distraction. Because when you worry, you invest time in that situation. And the time you invest worrying about a situation is the time taken away from hearing what the Lord wants to do. We have to unburden ourselves from guilt and from the need to please men. The need to please men will kill you. You cannot please men. Because if you try and please this one tomorrow, you'll be offending that one. Sorry, let me say that again. When you're pleasing this one, you're offending that one. You can never win. So you might as well throw that out the window and focus on pleasing God. Stop believing the lies of the enemy and take up your priesthood. Not according to the flesh, but according to the pattern God lays for you in the secret place. The secret place, the place of worship. There is nothing. You were made to worship God. That's why it was a tragedy that man was separated from God, because the worship was interrupted. Don't let anything interrupt your worship, your adoration. Lily? James 4:7 says this. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Part of resisting the devil is resisting the lies he's telling you about who you are, about what you're capable of. Not in your strength, but in God's strength. Not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. Your identity is what the enemy is after. And he will use any tool he can to distract you. Because he doesn't want you to walk in authority. Because if you start walking in the authority that God has given you, you're going to start planting seeds of faith. You're going to start impacting your environment. You're going to start influencing culture. The devil does not want that. I'll get you to stand up. Just want to take the opportunity to just pray. Just want to pray for two sets of people. First, we do this every week. We just want to give people an opportunity to give their lives to the Lord Christ. If you've never done that before, or if you have done it, the opportunity to do it again if you need to rededicate your life to Christ. So let us pray. That's the first group, sorry. The second group of people, I just want to pray for people who struggle with this concept, this idea of being a kingdom of priests, this idea of walking in authority because of shame, because of guilt, the things that stop you. So if that is an issue for you, please, after we pray the altar call prayer, if you can just come up for prayer. Please, let's close our eyes and let us just pray. Just repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross and that he is risen. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still with every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, please raise your hands where I can see you. Very first time. Thank you, Suni. Thank you. Thank you. So we've got someone who will come, and there's two people who raised their hand. If you could just attend to those people, please. You'll just be taken aside so that someone can explain to you what happens next. So thank you. Thank you for that decision. Now I just want to give an opportunity. If you need prayer around just standing in the authority that God has given you, please come to the front and just get prayer for that. Or if you have any other prayer needs, please take the opportunity for prayer. It's Resurrection Sunday. Anything that is dead rises. This is the opportunity. Thank you. Speak.
Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory as a church. Would you just raise your hands to the Lord this afternoon? Lord, we thank you that you are the way maker. You make a way for us, that you lead us by a strong hand, that you are our defender and you are our deliverer. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You are the one that leads us on wings of eagles, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you deliver us, that you made a way for us where there was no way. You freed us from the hand, Lord God, of Pharaoh and from the hand of the Egyptians. We thank you that you are the one that made the way by sending your son Jesus. May the resurrected life of Jesus reign in our lives. May we move in the power of Jesus. May we be guided by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Bless your people, Lord God. May they realize who they are in you. That, Lord God, that they fight from a seated position. That you are seated in heavenly places and we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. If you need prayer because you're not feeling well, the team is going to continue to sing and then we'll pray for you. But if you have to go, God bless you. Have a wonderful week. But if you need prayer to be healed, please come to the front and we'll pray for you. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week.